Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
Yep. Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil on the ones and twos. We're hanging out with you till noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. And those guys will take you up to 4 o'clock. And then at 4 o'clock, the first play-in game, well, tonight's first play-in game, Miami at Chicago, right here, 4 o'clock, ESPN at 1320. Of course, the Kings play tonight against the Dallas Mavericks.
That they do.
I want badly to overlook the Mavs. I don't think if the Kings play a B-level game and the Mavs play a B-level game, I think the Kings win pretty easily, control the game. My greatest concern is less about the Mavs going off. Because they just don't have, we just talked about it. And Anthony Davis is most effective scoring when he's playing center. He's playing the four for the Mavs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably more jump shots than you'd like to see from Anthony Davis.
Well, yeah, because he's playing the four alongside two rim-running centers.
Correct. Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford.
Yeah, those guys, like, they're space cloggers. I mean, they hide in the dunking position.
Right.
That's something that the Kings have struggled with guys that hide in the dunk position. Because mm-hmm. you remember, it wasn't... These two were hurt. Lively and Gafford were hurt early in the season. Well, later in the season when they played the Mavs a second time.
Earlier this season, not early in the season.
Yeah, but it was Kai Jones who busted up the Kings with a bunch of dunks from that dunking spot.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a problem. Like, the Kings are going to have to figure that one out. But again, Anthony Davis just brings a different dynamic to this.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess you can run the ball through him. You know, I looked at his stats and I'm thinking, oh, like, where's he at assist-wise, right? Mm-hmm. Can they run the ball through him like they did with the Kings do with Domas? In 9 games, he averaged like 4.4 assists per game. And I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, that's not bad. So maybe they are yeah. using him a little bit. Then I go in and I look at the box scores. Yeah, he averaged 4.4 assists, but the last game he played this season mm-hmm. against the Toronto Raptors, who are not good at all, he had 10 assists and he had a triple-double.
Excuse the numbers, because his sample size with the Mavs is very small.
Yeah, and the game before that, he had 6 assists versus the Lakers, which, of course, everyone's amped up for that game, right?
Well, okay, keep going. I might have a counterpoint.
The game before that, he had 0. The game before that, he had 2. And then a couple of games at 5, a game at 2, and a game at 3. So, yeah, I mean, in all honesty, like, his time there, he really hasn't been able to shine as, like, well, we don't know who he is. And I don't think the Mavs know who they are with Anthony Davis or without Anthony Davis.
Yeah, we talk about the difficulties of trying to integrate new players after the De'Aaron Fox trade. Imagine trying to integrate new players after trading Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And then you lose Kyrie Irving. It's just, it's a couple of just massive blows to the two players. Like you said, they've built this team around those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And now they don't have either of those guys. So the pieces are weird. I'm less concerned about the Mavericks, though, because, of course, we all know what Klay Thompson is capable of, right? Mm-hmm. Or at least was capable of. But I don't think Klay is the type of player anymore who's going to go get 45 points and carry a team. You got to guard him.
Mm-hmm.
He might go 8 of 13 from 3 if you let him mess around and get open. But I don't think Clay's that player anymore. Najee Marshall had a game this year where he had 30. That's weird. He's not a player that's going to go carry you. Anthony Davis is, but like you said, we don't know exactly what his role is with Dallas. My greater fear tonight, I say all of that to say, my greater fear tonight is the Kings.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not, again, if this was Luka, if Luka was still on the team, it would be a discussion about Luka as a playmaker, as a scorer, as just a singular offensive force. Without that and without Kyrie, there's not a lot to lean on, as we've just explained. The worry is, hey, man, we talk about a B performance for the Kings. They might lay down an F performance because who knows? It's been the conversation all year. You just never know on a night-in, night-out basis what kind of performance you're going to get for the Kings. I want to believe, my heart wants to believe, that Doug Christie is gonna say whatever he needs to say, have whatever acronym he needs written down on the whiteboard to get everybody going, okay, let's go win this game and win it by 50. We're going to play our best basketball right now. The best thing we can do is play our best basketball, and when we do that, it's A, B, C, and D. We got to check all these boxes, and they go check those boxes.
Mm-hmm.
My heart wants to believe they're going to do that.
Yep.
But there's just too much evidence of them not doing that this year where I can't fully buy in. I think they're going to win. I want them to win. But if you're saying, hey, you have to bet your life on it, I would not take that bet.
Yeah, because even when we hear Doug Christie talk about this, like the nameless, faceless opponent,
mm-hmm.
like the Kings' biggest like opposition is themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone knows that. If you buy into the game plan and you execute the game plan to a T, this team will win.
Yes.
Like, they have better pieces all around than the Dallas Mavericks right now.
I would agree with you.
I mean, I don't think there's anybody who's going to question that. The Mavericks could have the best player on the court, but he won't be the best player on the court tonight, most likely, because there's very few ways to maximize him mm-hmm. as a player.
Mm-hmm.
If they had Kyrie Irving, I would feel totally different.
Same.
If they can have that guy running around doing the pick and roll with Gafford, and then the pick and roll with PJ Washington hitting the three, and then the pick and roll with Derek Lively, who gives them just another different look,
mm-hmm.
and then you get that moving, and then all of a sudden you start firing the ball to Anthony Davis, and he starts cooking, and the Kings don't really have somebody that can defend Anthony Davis. You're hoping that Keegan Murray can hold his own against a 6'11". You know, long wingspan, you know, defensive genius mm-hmm. in Anthony Davis, but you're so limited,
mm-hmm.
right? They are so limited because they don't have a natural point guard, because they don't have a way to move the ball in the right way. And it's proven out that way. Like mm-hmm. you look at their record in the second half of the season, it's abysmal.
Yep.
And they've been through a bunch of trauma. And for some reason, Nico Harris decided to bring up a bunch more trauma with his off-the-record, whatever, I don't even know what we're calling it at this point.
On the record, but nobody record anything I'm saying press conference.
Yeah, they don't want video of it. They don't want audio of it. They just want to transcribe it, right? So why exactly is, like, why are you doing that now? Why are you causing more chaos, more drama surrounding this team the day before you go play a play-in game? And the answer is they don't have an answer.
Inexplicable.
Yeah, they don't have an answer for why they're doing the things that they're doing. And the team on the court looks exactly the same. It looks like a group of players that don't have an answer.
Mm-hmm.
They have been abysmal in the second half of the season. You talked about it. What's their net rating?
-12.3 since the All-Star break. 9.3?
Something like that.
It is a minus a lot. Since the All-Star break and in their last 15 games.
Yeah. It's not good. And
they don't, and there's a difference. Like, the Kings don't have a point guard, right? We have bemoaned this all year. But the Kings don't have a point guard, but they still have Zach LaVine, who you feel good with the ball in his hands. DeMar DeRozan, of course, can work mm-hmm. in that role as a primary ball handler. You still have arguably the one of the two best passing big men in the sport in Domantas Sabonis, who is so effective when passing the basketball and being that offensive hub. So they have ways around it in ways I'm not sure the Mavs do. And we'll talk to Kirk Henderson, who covers the Mavericks, coming up here at 11:20 in about 10 minutes. And I'm curious to ask him, functionally, how does this work?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not totally sure it does, but it just might not matter. Because you might get a sleepy performance from the Kings where they're down 8 at the half and they're forced to claw back and they just can never quite get over the hump because enough guys hit big threes for the Mavs, and it's just by the time the game ends, they've lost by 5.
Yeah. And that's because 50% of the games, it feels like, after the trade are exactly that. Like, you just don't know who the team is walking on the floor. And you hope that they would be geared up and, like, excited to play this game, and there wouldn't be any letdown at all. And the ball's hopping and everything's moving right, and they look like the team that beat the Cavs or beat the Pistons. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that it's going to be that team.
Yeah.
You know, we have the Washington game. We have, before that, the Orlando and Indiana game. We have too many games this season where they show up and they're just not the team that you thought that they would be. And they're searching for an identity for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that this is the right time for them to find any kind of identity. Like, you needed to find an identity 2 weeks ago and build off of that. And they've played better.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that they haven't played better, but they have. But at the same time, you know, both of these teams are 6-9 over the last 15.
Yep.
The biggest difference is that Dallas is a negative 7.3 net rating. They average 110.2. That's their offensive rating, and a 117.6 defensive rating.
Just so, and just real quick, offensive rating, estimated points per 100 possessions.
Yeah.
Defensive rating, estimated points allowed per 100 possessions. Net rating, offensive rating minus defensive rating.
Yeah. And so the Kings, 116.6 is their offensive rating. So, like, 6.4 better than Dallas. Their defensive rating is worse at 118.2, but that defensive rating is 0.6 worse. So the Kings' net rating is a negative 1.6 over the last 15 games.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this other sneaky thing that we didn't talk about, and that's that the Kings had one of the most difficult schedules in the final 15, 20 games of the season, and the Dallas Mavericks had one of the easiest schedules in the final, and that's why Dallas is still standing and the Phoenix Suns aren't, because Phoenix had an even worse schedule than the Kings.
Yeah.
And so here we are, we're looking at these two teams, and we can compare offensive, defensive ratings and all these things, but the Kings were a better team down the stretch. They had some buzzsaw games that there was no way that they were going to win.
Yeah, and securing a 12th pick in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320 makes a good point. Anthony Davis did miss a bunch of time. You can't overlook that.
Oh, no,
of
course.
Like we've talked about, they're better with Anthony Davis, like, no doubt. There's not a question.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know basketball-wise how they make this work. If the Kings play a B game.
Yeah.
If they play a B-level game, I don't know how Dallas either gets stops defensively or keeps up offensively. That's where I and again, we'll talk to Kirk Henderson, and maybe he has an answer for us.
And we might be way off. This game could just be a complete Dallas Mavericks blowout tonight, and everyone's like, what in the world just happened?
Is there an outcome tonight? And I'm sorry, I know Mitch and Sam are on the Elk Grove Kia Talk on. I'm sorry, I didn't have the phones up. That's my fault. Is there an outcome tonight that would surprise anybody? I don't think there's a single outcome. I think I would be surprised if the Kings got, like, blown out, like 30 points. That would surprise me.
Would it?
Yes.
Yeah.
If they got smoked.
Like the triple Jones on the court at the end, that would be a rough look. Like,
yeah, yeah. If
something like that.
I don't think it gets that bad, but if they lost by 15, that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, like
they just comfortably lose.
I think that there's a possibility for everything, because these games have an emotional swing one way or another. You know, I think, you know, we were looking at keys to the game. One of my first keys was, you know, you've got to get the crowd involved.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how you win. You build some momentum. You play well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if this team comes out and they look like they don't have it, we've seen too many times this season when they don't have it, they don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
There is no other button that they can push. Maybe one game this season I can remember where they were bad in the first half and like they didn't have it and they're down like 12 at halftime, and then they came back and just ran over somebody. Mm-hmm. Like one or two times.
Yeah.
They're really good when they're leading going into the fourth quarter. But outside of that, like, this team has to be competitive from the opening tip.
That's it.
And they've got to be competitive all the way through the first half. And they can't just let the game slip away, because I do. In games like this, there is a possibility to just let go of the rope. And you hope that that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But you hope that you're the team that forces the other team to let go of the rope.
Yeah. And what did I just E? What did I just I don't know. Somebody in the chat says this feels a bit off. Jason Kidd had them playing very hard even when they had no one. That's true.
Yeah.
We talked about that. The Mavs won some games there where you're going, man, they won? They made the 10 seed despite all of that? Mm-hmm. So yeah, credit to Jason Kidd. I just, if I guess that's sort of my point. The Mavs are likely going to come out and play hard. Or maybe they won't. Maybe they're like, screw this. We would like to be done with this basketball season now.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to do this anymore. 1-2-3 Cancun, and we're done. My point is, I don't think they're going to do that. And B, what I think you and I are both saying is that the Kings match that force. They're in a really good spot to win tonight.
Mm-hmm.
If they do not, they're in a really good spot to lose tonight. You can't play a C-level game and have the Mavs play an A game and feel good about winning. You have to match the urgency.
Yep.
And if they do that, I feel good about it.
Yeah.
But who knows? I sure don't. Somebody in the chatty house as we were coming back from break made the point, and I was it Mark Souza? I forget who it was. Made the point that this is a win-win for them because if the Kings win, you get another game and you get that excitement. But if they lose, you get to fast forward to the part where they start blowing everything up.
Oh, yeah.
All right. That's a perspective. I promise I will try to get to you, Mitch and Sam. I know you guys are on hold on the Elk Grove Kia talk line. I'm going to do my very best to get to you. If you don't want to be on the phone anymore, I don't blame you for hanging up. I'm sorry for not getting to you guys. But if we can, we will before this program ends. Coming up in 2 minutes, Kirk Henderson, Mavs Moneyball, Pod Maverick, a Dallas Mavericks podcast, one of my very favorite people covering the Mavs. He does such a great job. And we're going to ask him all these questions. We're not Mavs experts. He is. I want to find out what kind of game we're going to get tonight. Where is their fan base in terms of this game? Talk some Nico Harrison, talk some Luka. Tons to get into with Kirk Henderson next. He covers the Mavs for Mavs Moneyball right here on ESPN 1320. It is Sacramento Sports Leader.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's identity refreshing!
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2. Sacramento sports leader.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's identity refreshing!
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James Hamm's there. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil behind the glass. If you follow one person who covers the Mavs, make it Kirk Henderson. He's our guest now. Mavs Moneyball. He writes there. He does a podcast, Pod Maverick, a Dallas Mavericks podcast. Kirk, we were just talking about the Nico Harrison Invitational press conference, and you were not there, but why did they do this? What's
so
the goal here?
I got
here?
Wind of this about pushing 3 weeks ago. That they were going to do a behind closed doors invite only tier one media, which is essentially the people they, when COVID happened, they grouped media off and they basically shoved a bunch of people that they didn't like up into a different tier, which fair enough. And this was supposed to be something that happened before Luka Doncic's return. It was delayed for whatever reason. I have a strong feeling, though nothing to back this up on, that Nico Harrison was attempting to do what children do, which is put off their homework as long as possible And instead of bundling this and getting all of his idiotic comments out of the way before Luka came, he decided to restart the news cycle yesterday with this press conference. And have you guys read the transcript? It's
some of it.
This is approaching like politics level bad, where it just like give the man a shovel and he finds a way to dig new holes. I'm just impressed with how much he can't read the room.
Was it you that posted the screenshot of the interaction with Tim McMahon?
It's out there.
Just brutal.
The local news. Yeah, it's real bad. Tim started off the press conference basically just saying, why shouldn't the owner fire you?
Just unbelievable question.
Which, and he just, Harrison, by my read of things, I don't really think he's a jerk or anything like that. I believe that he can't understand why people are so in arms over this. It's not that he doesn't want to, it's just he doesn't get it. Ignoring the fact that all of his reasons are really not steeped in any sort of actual logic, which is what McMahon kept pressing him on. If defense wins championships, the Mavericks had the best defense down the stretch and then played very well into the playoffs. Their problem in the finals was it was the whole everything. Boston was better than them. Like right, that's the actual challenge. But I think he's just sort of decided to, my understanding, frankly, is that he had decided before the playoffs last year that he wanted to trade Luka Doncic and was looking for a way. This goes back far. This is in reading Tim McMahon's book and the situation, this is a situation where Nico Harrison decided he wanted to trade Luka Doncic and then looked for a reason to do so.
Oof. All right, so the reason to do so, I mean, we're still left kind of befuddled with what the reason is, and not only that, but why did you trade him for like pennies on the dollar?
Oh, he actually believes Anthony Davis is a better basketball player. I mean, there's like a litany of reasons why Nico Harrison deserves to be fired. He 100% believes Anthony Davis is the better basketball player. It's why it did not occur to him to go get Austin Reeves as well or any other draft picks, why he essentially settled for a trade package involving Max Christie, who's a fine role player on a decent contract, and a 2029 first. He thinks Anthony Davis is better than Luka Doncic. The end.
That's disqualifying for his job. That's
crazy. That's what made the press conference yesterday so amazing. He just continued to utter disqualifying statements.
He was
pressed a little later about the Quentin Richardson trade, and he said, "I believe that." Who did he even trade for? One of the twins,
Caleb Martin.
Yeah, he said. He's like
Quentin Grimes.
I believe that Caleb Martin's a better basketball player than Quentin Grimes is essentially what his take boiled down to. Like that's. I understand that basketball is a team game and things got to fit together, and sometimes you have to have role players. But these are just the sort of things where he has his belief system, and it's very unfortunate that Mavericks fans, myself included, are paying the price for the fact that he just starts his basis points are wrong. And the further this goes, I don't expect him to have a job. Whether they do it before the draft or sometime next year, he can't continue to lead this team.
Kirk Henderson, Mavs Moneyball and Pod Maverick, a Dallas Mavericks podcast. Is it okay if we shift gears and try and talk basketball? And I'm not being flippant. Like I genuinely, because I follow you and all the great work you guys do at Mavs Moneyball. And it feels really difficult when talking about the Mavericks. And we've tried to do this today where we're trying to talk Mavs. And it's like, how do you get around the elephant in the room? Like it's really tough.
If we focus on the actual basketball, what ends up happening is that you relate it back to the trade, but you can talk to the basketball itself. The Mavericks, I think, are 13-20 since the trade. So for all their talk of defense, they give up something like 60 points per game in the paint, which is 30th in the league. They are a disaster. And so Domantas Sabonis, who historically has, let's just be charitable and to Anthony Davis and say Domantas Sabonis has caused him some problems. All of these things balling together, like if Sabonis has a really big game, it's going to look really bad because you can't come out and give a lecture where I think he uttered the phrase defense wins championships in this press conference. Nico Harrison did like between 8 and 10 times. And I think the Kings are going to score 130 tonight. So what are we talking, you know, what is it? It's all related, and you can really get back to the basketball. The Mavericks are, the injuries have really hit the team hard. I've got to be honest about that. But then even before the injuries, they had expected Kyrie Irving to sort of deal with a massive workload, which isn't fair to a player of both his age and quite literally his size. You know, I know what he's listed as, but if he's 6 foot and 175 pounds, then that would shock me. I mean, he is a slight man and an incredible athlete, but he was the only person on the team other than Spencer Dinwiddie who can get the ball to the rack. And I guess there's Najee Marshall too, but he's more of a forward. So what we'll end up seeing tonight is a Mavericks team that has a pretty good backline, but their guards are just not capable of matching up with anybody that the Kings have from a scoring perspective. And so it really doesn't matter that PJ Washington, Derek Lively, and Anthony Davis are capable of sort of patrolling the paint. To where if the Kings actually get going from three, if LaVine is having one of those nights that he's capable of having, this could be one of those games where it's similar to the Hawks Magic game last night where it's over by halftime.
Okay, we're talking to Kirk Henderson from Mavs Moneyball. My question is, how do they set up their offense? Because, you know, this it does make sense to have Anthony Davis and even like the pick and roll players with Lively and Gafford and even the pick and pop player with PJ Washington when you've got Luka Doncic or Kyrie Irving. Now that you don't have either one of them and they don't really have a point guard at all, like how do they get into their offense and how will this work?
It's been really ugly, but at times it's worked reasonably well. The big-to-big motions that the Mavericks do, where Anthony Davis is more of a distributor, have actually been quite effective. He's his passing. It's not that it surprised me, but I've not seen enough of it. The challenge becomes PJ Washington, to be quite honest. PJ Washington is a four. He's not a three. He's a four who can occasionally hit threes, and they've really neutered him in a way that's very disappointing because of all the players in the Mavericks roster, I think he's the one that sort of fits the – okay, maybe we can build around him. Like he's not a super duper star, but he's a solid player, and I really appreciate both his effort on both ends of the floor. He's grown his game enough, but he just ends up being the odd man out sometimes. Where if his three ball's not going, he is pretty rough. The big man rotation with Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively is very hit or miss. Derek Lively's not looked good since coming back from his injury, which is not entirely surprising. Stress fracture, things like that. The guards, the X factor for me is if Spencer Dinwiddie is having one of those nights, he occasionally just gets really too big for his britches. Actually gets too big for his britches every game, but sometimes it really works out for him. He is an absolute master at the garbage foul. Like you will scream at your television watching this guy getting to the line where he just does some things where it's like, how did that defender bite on that? Yeah. And then, so if that's working out well for him, that tends to open up the Maverick offense a little bit because he's a willing shot taker. But if you look at his just sort of, if you were to go down his game log, he has some games recently that don't make a lot of sense where he'll take four shots in 29 minutes. And then in another game, he'll take 17. It's like, what are we doing?
Huh. That's some next level Zach LaVine stuff right there.
That's a big time Zach LaVine.
And so to answer your question about how do they get into the offense, I mean, it's odd and it will be ugly. And I'm not really looking forward to it.
Okay. So I'm glad you said, I'm not glad you said that, but I am because what's the vibe from Mavs fans for this game? Is it just to get this season from hell over with? Is it, hey, let's sneak into the playoffs with this group. It'd be fun. Where are Mavs fans landing for tonight?
That's a tough one because I think so many of the casual fans have abandoned ship. A lot of hardcore fans really do enjoy the basketball itself, as they should. And so I think that fans would like to see the basketball continue as long as it can, but it's like what we led off the segment with. When you have the specter hovering over everything, it makes the actual basketball difficult to enjoy until you're actually watching it. I mean, that's been my deal covering it game to game, where I really can't stand talking about this team, and then I'm watching the games. I'm like, you know what? I like this because I like basketball.
Right.
I mean, a 10 seed I don't think has ever come out, so I don't necessarily think it matters. But when watching last night's play-in and watching Memphis just sort of – that was just a – was the Seinfeld slap fight of a basketball game. Yeah. And I think this one's going to be fairly similar, where it might be an instance of who has the ball last. You know, I still – that one of the defining games of the season for the Mavericks was the DeMar DeRozan game winner over the Mavericks. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love that play because he took like 37 steps. It was just so funny to watch. But it was so cool looking that I didn't notice it till down the road. And so maybe we'll get one of those games where it's a barn burner, because if neither team is all that effective at defense, then sometimes you can actually get some pretty watchable basketball.
Oh, fingers crossed.
We're talking to Kurt Henderson from Mavs Moneyball. Kurt, when you're looking at the way that this game may play out tonight, what is the one way in which you think the Mavericks can come away with a win?
I think the X factor, the aforementioned Spencer Dinwiddie coming out and putting north of 20 points is going to be the way things go. Najee Marshall's been a very consistent, if you haven't watched Najee Marshall's game recently, he's a remarkably skilled player, and you'll watch him and all of a sudden he'll have 18 points. You're like, well, how did that happen?
Yeah.
Maybe Klay Thompson getting hot. People don't really talk about this, but Klay Thompson's last game as a Warrior was against the Kings last year, where I think he went 0 for 10 from three.
Oh, we talk about it.
you have to think he wants that back, some element of that back, maybe him getting going. But he's been really when he's on, he looks great. But when he's off, it's like, ooh, brother. Yeah. So those two guys kind of playing above how they've played more recently is kind of where I would go. There's a recent signee, Brandon Williams. He played for the G League affiliate, but didn't play that much. He actually spent most of the year with the Mavericks. Mavericks signed him to a contract once they were able to at the end of the year. He's a fun little spark plug, little guy. Not quite in like the ye olde Yogi Ferrell type, but just that kind of small guy gonads, and it just like you love watching guys like that. So I think if any of those guys were to get going in a tangible way, you'd see everything else follow, because you know Anthony Davis will do what he does. His jumpers will either fall or they won't, and then everybody else, you know, just kind of gets their buckets in the course of the game. So that's how I see it going the Mavericks way, if it were to.
Last thing real quick, Kirk. You mentioned Anthony Davis's jump shots falling, and I admittedly I'm not locked into 48 minutes of Mavs basketball every night, but the bits I did watch, it did feel like he was taking more jumpers than usual. Is that just anecdotal and it just happened to be minutes I watched?
I think his dirty secret as a player since like 2020, if we're being candid, is the fact that when his jump shot is going, he looks like a top five player on earth. When his jump shot is not going, he looks like, you know, probably top 25, because he's still very impact. The impact is still there defensively. Mm-hmm. When the jump shot goes, that allows his drives to get going. When he forces action to the rim, he looks awkward. He'll make some shot attempts where it's like his shoulders aren't square or doing anything on the drive, and it looks like he's baiting for the foul. And that's just not his game. He's a skillful player, but when the skill isn't necessarily translating to baskets, his game slowly tightens up and he becomes a disaster.
Oof. All right. Well, looking forward to the game tonight. Thanks, Kirk, for hopping on with us, man. Keep doing great work at Mavs Moneyball. Keep doing great work at Pod Maverick, Dallas Mavericks podcast. And we'll hope to talk to you soon, man.
Have a good day, guys.
See you, Kirk. Thanks.
Good luck tonight.
Kirk Henderson, Mavs Moneyball, one of the best. I'm dead serious, dude. I didn't just say that because he was here. He's gone. He's not even in the backstage area anymore.
Yeah.
If you're going to follow one person who does Mavs stuff, make it Kirk.
All right.
He's very, very good. He's written some really scathing stuff about Nico Harrison, too.
Oh.
It's very, very good. He's awesome. Doesn't sound super optimistic about tonight.
No.
Let's get to... Joe, I want to talk about your friend's Glizzy quest last night. Pause. But we got to get to the Elk Grove Kia talk line first, because our guy Mitch has been waiting for a very long time. Mitch, that's my fault. I apologize. It's Mitch in New Jersey. Time for everybody's favorite segment. Mitch, you do not talk over me, sir. Allow me to finish your introduction, and then you may talk. It's everybody's favorite radio segment. It's Mitch in New Jersey. Hello, Mitch. Now you go.
How's it going, Kyle? James, my daughter's giving me the job of getting our car a little fixed, minor thing. You know, it's one of these keyless cars. I never driven one of these. I hope I'm not ruining something.
No, you're doing great.
And I hope the chat room, you're going to be like, you know, you're going to roast me. Let's make it worth my while to read. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Just make me laugh. Just all laugh is all great. Doesn't hurt anybody. I didn't think it was such a bad trade. I know it's, you don't trade a generation guy, but they did get Davis, Cam, Chrissy, and I didn't realize that first round pick was so long. That was a better haul than what we got for Fox. You got to admit that. And I hope the home team wins. Kings got our shooting guards, small forwards better take over the game. But say if Luka wins it all for the Lakers and somehow the Rams win it all too, you'll have a Luka and a Puka with a championship in L.A. in the same year, pretty much. I'm no Eminem or Lamar or any other rapper, but you know where they can take this. They can come out with some good material if a Luka and a Puka come with a championship this coming season.
Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate the call.
There it is.
The Luka Puka punchline made it all worth it. Awesome. Did your friend wind up, so if you guys missed it yesterday, our guy Joe Brazil, we're going to step aside here in a second, but Joe, you went to the Rivercats game last night at Sutter Health Park, front mm-hmm. row Joe, you and your buddy, it's $2 hot dog night. Your buddy went on a mission to eat 7 hot dogs.
That is correct.
I was on pins and needles.
So was I.
Did he accomplish this feat?
Should we wait until we get back, or do you want to just go right into it?
Sure, yeah, good tease. Did Joe's friend eat 7 hot dogs? We'll tell you next on The Insiders on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, James Hamm, Kyle Madsen, Joe Brazil, and Kenny Caraway from D'Lo and KC is here for the handoff. Kenny Caraway, everybody.
What's going on, everybody?
We don't have the... that was loud, sorry.
I like the horns, man. I mean, I don't have the horns, but...
Oh, yeah, you don't.
We don't have the intro song anymore?
I mean,
we don't have...
All right, here we go. You're not going to have headphones. Here you go. Hang on.
It's time now for the handoff. Taking the handoff from James and Kyle today, here's KC, Kenny Caraway.
There you go.
Yep. Yep. Let's go, boy. Let's go.
Kings Mavs tonight.
Yeah, man.
I trust you, your basketball knowledge, and your ability to talk hoops to go through this bit on the fly. I did not text you about this.
No, sir.
James and I prepped for this. You did not, but I fully trust you to roll with it.
Thank you.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Keys to victory tonight for the Sacramento Kings.
Oh.
Number one. Hang on. We got a... Ding. Oh, where'd my... Oh, there we go. Hang on. Number one.
There we go.
Kenny Caraway, lead us off.
Take care of the basketball.
That's a big one. That was key number three for me. So I'm going to move that up. Key number one for me. Also, don't turn it over.
Yeah, when they... I don't know if the numbers bear this out. Will Z or Will that used to work in tickets.
Any person named Will, if you can answer this question, what's the question?
I don't know what the record is when they have 12 or less turnovers, but I'm sure it's pretty good. I say 12 because is that about an average game? Like a great game is somebody having 7 turnovers or a team having 7 turnovers.
Yeah, yeah. 12 is like a league leader. Right around 12.
How many?
12 and a half.
So what's the number we're looking for?
12 or less.
12 turnovers. Or fewer?
It's got to be a great record.
Like a clean game.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you're at 12 or 13 or even 14, a lot of those came when the game's out of control.
When the Kings have 12 or fewer turnovers, they have done that 39 times. Well.
Oh, they stink, huh?
Sorry, Kenny.
Well, throw the ball all around the Golden One Center.
They are 18-21.
What?
They have 12 or fewer turnovers.
That's crazy. That's a trip. I am shocked by that.
I am too.
Do you know what's so funny? You guys were talking about this yesterday on D'Lo and Casey. You said something. Oh, it was the stat that you asked some random guy named Will to look up.
Yeah. Shout out to
it was that stat.
Will.
And it turned out it was DeMar DeRozan shoots it 18 or more times, and they were 19 and 17. Every stat you look up for the Kings says they're about
500.
Every single one.
That's right.
No matter what way you slice it, this team is.
That's right.
This team might beat the Cleveland Cavaliers in Cleveland, or they might lose to the Washington Wizards.
Yeah, man. And my only hope is they don't lose to the Dallas Mavericks.
You can't lose.
And the Memphis Grizzlies. But I just
not
think,
turning it over is big, though. I that's a way to let a worse team stay in or get back into a game is by live ball turnovers, fast break points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not turning the ball over. And with this particular team, this Mavericks team in particular, if you can, and this is a struggle for these guys, but mm-hmm. if you can defend a three-point shot well and not let them beat you from beyond the arc, it feels like that's the way that they're going to be able to beat you. If Clay has 6 3-pointers, Spencer Dinwiddie is hitting 3 or 4, P.J. Washington giving you 2, 3, or 4, and then Najee Marshall. Like, if they're hitting their three-pointers, you might be in for a long night. But if you can keep them to a situation where they've got to just hit a bunch of twos mm-hmm. and have this super high percentage from mm-hmm. inside the three-point line to beat you, I don't think they can beat the Kings that way. I think the Kings will hit enough threes that it'll make it difficult for them to be able to beat them if they're not matching them 3 for 3.
Was that your second key?
Yes.
Okay, well, James, we need key number 1 from you still.
My key is set the physicality for the game early.
Oh, I already did that.
Like,
sorry.
Show up. Start pushing people around early on and say, this is the playoffs.
Yes.
This is what it's going to be like. Yep. And if you don't like that, then go ahead and leave now.
Mm-hmm.
And
see,
the Kings can do that.
And see, frankly, if you can get Dallas to check out early.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If they're one of those teams, and they may not, Jason Kidd may have them all row in the same direction,
yeah.
and they're going to try and overcome all this outside noise. Maybe they get into that space. But it would not shock me at all if the Kings come out and deliver the first punch that the Mavs are like, hey, we got vacations booked. We're out of here.
Well, hell, I think Nico Donardi gave the exit interview.
Jeez Louise,
wild,
man.
Wild.
So why'd he do that?
I like that key from James. And then, yeah. James, what is key number 2 for you?
Key number 2, win the battle of the two teams without point guards.
Mm. I think they're in a good spot to do so.
Yeah, because I think the Kings have more versatility in the players that they mm-hmm. will play. To have somebody that has 8 to 10 assists, like, or multiple players have, you know, 7 to 9 assists, like, yeah. they've got 3 or 4 guys that can get there. Where I don't think Dallas really has that. Like, their offense should be really sticky and not fun to watch. Like, yeah. it's a bunch of big dudes.
So our guest Kirk Henderson was like, "It's not going to be pretty."
No,
he's grimy, he's
very real.
You know, my third. I don't know if you're gonna even ask.
Can I do my second one first?
Oh, for, no, for
there's
sure. there yeah, you go.
No, absolutely. No.
You're so good at this bit that you're Step just out. Ready to go. This is incredible. Number 2 for me. Got to do the little things.
Yep.
Get the loose ball. Get that extra offensive rebound. Make the extra pass. Those little things on the margins that Devin Carter does so well, that Keegan Murray does so well, Trey Lyles does so well. You need to do those little things mm-hmm. tonight against Dallas. Kenny Caraway, key number 3.
Key number 3. Love this guy. That's my man's.
Oh, but you know, say it.
But,
say it.
But you know, I'm about to be critical. This is my man.
Yes.
Domantas Sabonis. You cannot let the Kings lose this game. If you're everything that we have been talking about for the past 3 years, we get mad when you're not on All-NBA or All-Star mm-hmm. or 40, you're a $40 million guy, going to be $43 million, all this other stuff. I don't want to hear anything if you're that guy.
That's it.
I don't want to hear this person didn't let you do this and that. I don't want to hear that. If you're everything that we, myself included, have been saying you are for the past 2 to 3 years, you do not let your team lose at home to this Mavericks team with your season on the line.
Yep.
That's the bottom line. Domantas Sabonis, find a way with your play, with your words, with your actions to get a win tonight for your team.
I have nothing else to add. That was my final key as well.
He just Domas stole yours. Dominate. I think he was cheating off your paper.
He's just got the rundown
over
there.
I got a mirror over here.
Don't turn it over.
Domas got to dominate.
Let Domas dominate and the little things. Casey just out there just stealing his
but
stuff.
But, I mean, this don't, like I said.
It's pretty straightforward. Yeah. But that just says it's pretty straightforward with the Kings.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a lot of room for creativity here. When they're good, it's a very specific way, and when they're bad, it's a very specific thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree.
What's number three for you, James?
Get the crowd involved early.
Please.
Just get them involved. Like, please. If you can crank it up in there, like, they can bring you home.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
it's going
to
be a...
And again, might get Dallas to check out early.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a whiteout, I heard. Whiteout tonight?
I don't... Everybody getting somebody, you know, somebody in the chat brought this up, and it's a great point. Why do they do this? The Mavericks are going to wear white.
I don't think they... Well, so on the...
Unless
on
the Kings are wearing white.
On the court vision, the NBA court vision, it said the Kings were wearing black. Last night, somebody that works for the Kings, like, it was just... It's not a secret. It's this young lady on Twitter who's like a ticket seller or something.
Okay.
She said, hey, bring the noise. It's going to be white shirts in every seat. It's going to be a whiteout. The team's going to be wearing white.
Okay.
So I don't know. Maybe court vision got it wrong. But I saw the same
thing,
too.
If they wear white, then this all makes sense.
Okay.
This is what it looks like right here.
In that playoff series, Golden State's wearing white, and the Kings are wearing purple or black or whatever, and the fans are all wearing white? What are you doing?
Well...
That doesn't make sense to me.
I can see a way in which you go to throw a ball to somebody, and you see just a bunch of white, and you're like, oh, wait, that wasn't my teammate. That was one of 3,000 fans in that section right there.
That's what happened when Jordan pulled turned the ball over.
You're right.
That was the problem. Like, God, I just couldn't tell.
Shout out to my boy Jordan Poole.
He had a good year.
He did.
He had a nice little year. Shout out to Jordan Poole.
Hopefully it translates into winning soon.
We'll see.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
I'm less optimistic.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
I'm less optimistic about that. I want to be optimistic tonight. I so badly want to... I think they're going to win.
I do too.
I think it's gonna be close though. Probably closer than we think. Because in my brain, my knee jerk reaction, just knowing the bad vibes at the Mavs, is like, Kings are gonna roll. I think it's like a 7-point win where it's close late, and then maybe they get some free throws and wind up winning by like seven.
You just don't know with this group.
You have no idea.
Don't know. I lean back on if the Kings play their A game and this version of the Mavs plays their A game, the Kings should win.
I agree. I'm right there.
There it is.
Right there with you. We good? Everyone said everything they need to
We're
say?
We're good. We're all going to see each other in a little while. Out the.
Yeah, we'll see you out at Golden One Center.
Yeah, ESPN 1320 field trip. Let's go.
Going to be great.
Let's do this.
Out of Golden One Center. We will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. breaking down Kings Mavs win or lose. Can't wait to do that with you right here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader. For James Hamm and Joe Brazil, I'm Kyle Madsen. We've been the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. And until tomorrow at 10 a.m., drink water. Be nice, people. See ya!
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple!